Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome into the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network and KeystoneSportsNetwork.com, the Keystone Sports app, your online home for all things Penn State football. I'm Dustin Hawkinsmith. Greg Pickle is here with me. We've got a good show for you coming up. Starting in just a little bit, we're going to look back, do a little historical recruiting, semi-historical. I don't know if going back to 2014 is truly historical, but
it is for now.
We're going to look back through Penn State recruiting and some of the hits and misses over the years. A lot more hits, I found, than misses, but I think you can go back through and appreciate how inexact the science of recruiting can be. So right. We're going to go back through and do that, going back to James Franklin's first year in 2014. Bill Bender from the Sporting News is going to join us just after that. Dennis Dodd from CBS Sports, a couple of national voices here on this Keystone Kickoff Show. And we're gonna round it out called Take a Stand, where Greg and I will be throwing some topics, and we're going to take probably opposite stances, maybe the
I
same
like
stances.
It.
I don't know. We're pretty agreeable.
We'll get ready to argue with you. So yeah, a little bit different than normal.
We'll put on a show.
That's right.
We'll put on a show.
You got it.
Skip Bayless can fake it all these years, we can fake it for 15 minutes anyway. So we're going to do that. It's a new segment. We'll see how it goes. If you guys like it, we'll keep it maybe. If you don't,
We'll probably keep it just to spite you.
So there we go. So let's start, Greg. I thought this was an interesting time to do this because, you know, obviously, even going back to, say, the 2016, certainly the 17, 18 classes, yeah, there's not a lot of conclusions you can draw because we're in the middle of trying to learn what those classes are about. But the 2014 class in particular, you can go back and you've got a good idea of what they did well.
Yep.
Who developed better than you expected. And there's some real – in that 14 class, there's a lot of guys who I would call foundational-type players who came from that class.
Right.
Trace McSorley did. Chris Godwin did. Mike Gesicki, Marcus Allen, Troy Apke. All those guys who just went high in the NFL draft came from that class. Nick Scott, who's going to play – he's a good example of a guy who just developed over time, changed positions three times. Developed into a leader, played a big role in special teams. We do expect him to start at safety. Koa Farmer, kind of same deal, a little bit of a journey for him. It happened for him a little bit faster than Nick Scott because, frankly, I think just as a high school player, he was more talented than Nick Scott was. Amani Oruwariye, who has a chance to be really the next Christian Campbell and have a chance to get drafted out of that class. You had the actual Christian Campbell
yep.
in that class who ended up playing as a freshman and then the whole way through, and he ends up getting drafted by the Cardinals. Grant Haley, Jason Gabinda, really got guys who played valuable roles, many of them earlier in their career than you would anticipate, but this was not under normal circumstances still in 2014.
No, I mean, not to mention everything that had been going on at Penn State, and then you also, of course, have the fact of just how quickly this class had to be filled. I mean, it wasn't like there was, you know, it was a very interesting time, and quite frankly, Penn State could have lost a lot of these guys or, you know, not landed them at all if things took a little bit longer or, you know, you end up with a different head coach. You just don't know. You can't go back and repeat the past, obviously. But, yeah, I mean, there was a lot of guys in this class. Now, granted, not all of them worked out, and that's going to be the case in college football recruiting. There's no questioning that. But I think for the most part, under all the things that Penn State was dealing with, they still had – you know, some of the NCAA stuff to deal with. Obviously, the perception of the program wasn't great. You have James Franklin come in and not really know anybody. He has to get his staff here. They have to go through all the compliance stuff that, you know, you have to go through to be able to go out on the road and recruit. I mean, it was an absolute madhouse of insanity. And they end up putting together a class, Dustin, and you could very easily make the argument they probably don't win the 2016 Big Ten title without this group.
I think that's fair to say, for sure. And a lot more positives than negatives. One thing that I think we'll take away looking at how things developed over time, because they're short on offensive linemen, not really in good shape on the offensive line in this class.
Right.
And so he ended up bringing Brendan Brosnan and Chance Sorrell along for the ride from Vanderbilt and Noah Bay. None of those guys worked out. And I think to have not – were there, I can't recall if there were other offensive linemen in this class already, but
– Well, Chaz Wright committed in that weird time between Bill O'Brien leaving and James Franklin getting here. It's still not clear to me this day who exactly somehow, he committed to.
For some reason, but, yeah.
And he was a, you know, he was a December guy.
Dave Joyner. So, he committed to Dave Joyner, I think.
Anything is possible. You just upset a lot of people. So he was interesting. But
this group, and there wasn't much that could have been done differently. It's hard because, you know, Franklin got the bodies that he needed.
Right.
But they weren't – none of these guys was anywhere close to being college ready.
No.
And you knew that. And then he ended up going – really, I would say with Chaz, right, you end up going 1-for-4 in this class. And it's another reason, another one of those sort of dominoes that fell that kept Penn State's offensive line – you know, it stunted its growth a little bit. The growth was stunted big time. He also had some guys who transferred out. Troy Reader transferring at a time that didn't help. That stunted the growth of the linebacker position there too. Michael O'Connor, the quarterback, not a big surprise with the writing on the wall. Antoine White seemed to be buried on the defensive tackle depth chart. Right. Daquan Worley, the kid from Coatesville. Where did he end up? I don't even remember.
Somewhere Duquesne? Else besides Penn State. Yeah, I can't quite remember either.
So I think transfers, as much as you don't want to acknowledge that possibility when kids are coming in, every class features kids who don't like their situation, who are homesick or whatever. You just every class that you kind of learn as you're going back through has those kids.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Daquan Worley did end up at Duquesne, still on the roster there, entering his final year of play. So interesting to keep track of him. But yeah, I mean, I think that, look, again, under the circumstances, you know, there's some programs and some recruiting cycles. You may have had, you know, they had 25 enrollees in this group. You end up losing a couple of guys you mentioned. But for the most part, Dustin, I mean, there's years you might have gotten 10 out of 25 to be productive, and there's more than that in this group. Now, don't get me wrong. You did have some guys that didn't turn out the way they were supposed to, didn't, you know, end up playing much. The offensive lineman you mentioned, Worley moves on. Michael O'Connor never turned into much. Saeed Blacknall. Obviously, you had a couple plays that Penn State, again, doesn't win, doesn't win the way it has without him.
So it's hard
him.
To knock him for it.
Right. You don't want to knock him too much at the same time.
But you see, physically, if you just can't help but feel like he could have or should have been more.
That's exactly right. You just think that he was always one step away from putting it all together.
The 2015 class, I think, obviously, Saquon Barkley, John Reed, Juwan Johnson, Ryan Bates, you can call them safely hits, Barkley in particular. There were some misses. I think Kamonte Carter, Andre Robinson, Irv Charles, you know, there were guys that probably could have done more to live up to their recruiting billing. Sterling Jenkins, I guess, is still TBD. But I think the theme from this class for me is you look at 2018, some of the guys who are kind of most on the spot to figure out what exactly they are coming from this class. Jonathan Holland, Aaron Monroe, Brandon Polk, Jake Cooper, Nick Bowers. You got your tight ends there that have a chance to really shape that position group. You know, you have your linebacker and safeties who are replacing guys. So this is really the time here. Now we're looking 3-4 years later where these guys have a chance to leave their mark. It's now or never in most of their cases.
No question. So, I mean, I guess the first one we can start with is Jenkins, a guy that a lot of people thought would have already have contributed by now. 4-star offensive lineman, listed at 6'8", 305. I think he was probably listed as a little bit bigger than that when he was coming out of high school. Top 20 player to his position, a guy that will he ever put it together? I don't know. I mean, he's been doing some stuff on the special teams unit and stuff like that, but will he ever put it together to win a starting spot? I don't know. It's hard to say. But, you know, for the most part, again, you get a class here that, you know, you have mostly contributors of. And when James Franklin was trying to roll over this program, the number 14 class in the country in this 2015 group, 25 commitments, number 2 in the Big Ten, average star rating of almost 90, which is equivalent to a high 4-star. I mean, this was everything Penn State could ask for. And if you remember, I mean, this group was pretty much, they knew who they wanted to get. And they went out and got him and locked him up early. And there were some lulls. But for the most part, I mean, these guys, obviously they waited on a couple of them, Tommy Stevens being one of them, of course. But think back when Jarvis Miller committed, then Ryan Bates. I mean, then the sort of things got rolling from there. So, John Reed and Saquon Barkley weren't too far behind. Juwan Johnson, I'll never forget him showing up at a wrestling match with James Franklin. And then he committed, a little bit later down the road. So, I mean, this was a group that It was the first time we saw James Franklin and his staff put a big board together and then go out and pick the pieces off one by one. Did they get everyone? No, certainly not. But did they get a lot of the ones that they wanted? There's no question about it.
It was a big, healthy class. I think that's the one thing that, you know, they're coming out. They're getting their scholarships back. And the 15 class, which was so deep from top to bottom, we've seen that play out, that they needed high-end talent for sure, but they needed a lot of talent. They needed quality and quantity. They got that in 15. Just quick on the 2016 class, the three lowest-rated players from the class all transferred: TJ Johnson, Brendan Thrift, Alex Barbier. This class has a lot of guys who have big opportunities ahead. They're breakout candidates: Miles Sanders, Michael Mennett, Cam Brown, Zach McPherson, Ellison Jordan, Antonio Shelton, Will Fries, Danny Dalton. It's just the cycle of things. Now these guys coming in, this is their third year on campus now. This is the third year where James Franklin circles for a lot of guys on the offensive line in particular, where they're going to be ready. These guys are going to be ready, I think, and there, for a majority of the class, we can't really say with a lot of certainty what they're going to become.
Right.
But Connor McGovern, Shane Simmons, Tyrell Chavis, who was a JUCO, I think we can say that those were pretty good success stories so far with some future ahead. I don't know what to make of Jake Zembeck or Daylon Darien moving to linebacker. There's still some stuff we don't know, but breakout picks, are a lot of them are coming from this class.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Just to go back to 15 quick, one of the biggest misses that still hurts Penn State to this day was Christian Wilkins going to Clemson. That one just still stings. He's a guy who's going to be a probably top 10 pick in next year's draft, assuming he stays healthy. 2016, I'll tell you what, if you're going to talk about breakout candidates, the one guy that looks like he's going to outplay his ranking, not ranked nationally, Dustin, the 82nd ranked defensive tackle, that's Antonio Shelton. He's gotten a lot of praise so far this offseason. If he doesn't make a splash in 2018, I'll be pretty surprised.
The 2017 class, I think it's obviously early, but you saw Tariq Castro Fields, Lamont Wade on the field, Yetur Gross-Matos on the field. Those are possible, you know, cornerstone type players moving forward. There's also a pretty big group of kids who's gotten significant praise: CJ Thorpe, Mike Miranda, KJ Hamler, Damian Barber, Sean Clifford, Jonathan Sutherland, Donovan Johnson. This is an exciting class that won't go down as the most talented class in Penn State history. 18 is for sure there, but this is a group that has some guys who look like they're going to outperform their star ratings.
Yeah, it sounds to me like you'll get something eventually out of CJ Thorpe and Desmond Holmes on the offensive line, so that's a big plus. Obviously, Damian Barber bulking up to move inside should indicate that he's getting a little bit closer to playing. And then you have some guys that are going to debut this year. KJ Hamler's one you mentioned, I think most are excited about, to go along with a lot of contributions from previous years.
All right, as promised, we're going to get national. Bill Bender from the Sporting News is going to join us right after this break. And right after him, Dennis Dodd from CBS Sports talking about the redshirt rule from the NCAA. So stick around. We've got a great show still up ahead. Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right. GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
160,000 miles. That's on average how often you'll use your car insurance. But what if you could get help with more often? Maybe save a couple of bucks on clothes or at restaurants. What if you could even get rescued roadside when a tire goes flat or your battery dies? You can, when you're a member and your auto insurance is AAA. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about how AAA works at every mile.
Hi, Dustin Hawkinsmith here from the Keystone Kickoff Show. Stop by Route 15 Beverage Express for the best selection of craft, domestic, and import beer in the area. Let our friendly and knowledgeable staff provide you with the best service in the area. And don't forget, June 23rd, we are saying thank you for 15 wonderful years of service. Stop by from noon to 4 for free food from 409 Tailgate Club, beer samples, and prizes just off Route 15 South in Dillsburg.